Support for Neta Squared comes from RX Sight. The Light Adjustable Lens by RX Sight is the first and only IOL that can be adjusted after cataract surgery. To learn more, visit our website at rxsight.com.
Hi, Netta.
I'm Netta. I'm here with Netta.
And I'm Netta. Welcome to Netta Squared. This is our first podcast together. I'm so excited, Netta.
I'm so excited, Netta. We've been talking about doing this for so long. Do you remember when we first had this idea?
You know, I think it was at least over a year ago. And you and I were in the audience at one of these meetings. And I remember I had heard of you because I had heard this wonderful Netta. Have you met her? And I hadn't really met you. But you were sitting in the audience on the other side, and I was on this side. And you and I were, I think, the only two people who were asking the panel questions. And we were just going back and forth, back and forth. And I thought, you know, she and I are aligned. And I'd love to not just meet you, but I'd love to collaborate with you.
How do you remember that? I love that. I do remember that. I remember, you know what's so funny is my first memory of meeting you was so... just so in line with like how I view you as a person. I remember I was a resident and we met at the Cornea Society party and I knew who you were. And one of my faculty, I think it was like Wendy Lee or somebody, introduced us and she was like, oh, this is Netta Shammy. And I was like, oh, I know who you are. It's nice to meet you. And you're like, oh, I know who you are. And you were like, it's such a great pleasure to meet you. And you were so kind and so like humble about it that I was like, obviously I know who you are. Why do you know who I am? It was really wonderful. Yeah.
You were a superstar before you even finished your training. Everyone was talking about you and it's no wonder. I mean, you have really made a huge impact in our field and I'm just so giddy proud to be sitting here across from you and working with you. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun with this podcast. You and I can't stop talking when we get together, and this is a good outlet for us.
Yeah.
And I think we're aligned, but at the same time, we have had different paths. We're from different generations, as much as I don't want to admit that. But I think we can bring a lot to the table, and I'm excited to work with you on this because we're going to have guests. We're going to talk about everything that has to do with ophthalmology and beyond. And I know I'm going to be inspired by you as I am outside of this podcast, but I'm excited for us to collaborate on this.
I'm super excited to work with you too. Honestly, one of the memories I have was at the Cedars Aspens mentorship panel that you were on when we were at ACOS, which is, I think, the meeting that we first like really met and got to know each other. And I knew we had similar practice styles and similar, you know, refractive practices, high touch, you know, high patient experience practices. But I remember you saying that your brand is authenticity. And I was like, oh, that really resonated with me because I feel like one of the things that's really important to me is when I show up and talk to people at meetings or just anywhere in life, it's really important to me to get to dive deep and know people like on a personal level. And I've always thought it would be really fun to do that in like a podcast format where you really get to know somebody. And as we started talking about this, we were like, oh, you know, like who's our audience? What do we want to focus on? And we're both so curious and so interested in people. And I think we both really enjoy getting to know not just like, oh, what did you invent? And what is your product that you're working on? But like, we really like the people behind these stories and getting to know the person behind it, you know, whatever the latest technology is. So I think we're gonna have a lot of fun doing this.
I totally agree. And I think authenticity is such a part of who you are too. And I love that when you and I talk, we dig deep. Mm-hmm. We don't stay on the superficial level of conversations. And I don't feel judged. I feel loved and embraced by you. And I hope that you feel the same. Mm-hmm. And I think we approach patient care the same. We approach our relationships in ophthalmology and our friendships the same. We're authentic in our approach to all aspects of what we do, or at least we hope to be and try to be. So I don't want to necessarily oversell that is most definitely my goal in everything I do. I don't always
Yeah, we're human.
You know, exactly. But that's really the goal that we have. And I think you and I relate on that level. You know, and it's funny because our name, so the whole Netta squared also, you know, our name in our language, we're both Persian, and in our language it has different meanings, but the meaning that resonates to both of us, I think, is that it's news or good news, rather. And my father picked the name for me, and he says, you know, I want your name every time anyone calls your name, that it's good news. And I think hopefully this podcast will resonate with the meaning of the meaning behind our name.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that meaning so much. I also love, it's kind of a different meaning is morning dew. And we've been talking about how, you know, we're going to keep it fresh and keep it new and exciting. And I think the like beginning of something, like the beginning of the day with morning dew is always kind of nice too.
Yeah. Let's not make it early recordings though. I'm not a good morning person. All right. So with that, let's get to know each other a little bit more, at least have our listeners get to know us. So tell me how you started in ophthalmology. Tell us about your path. We'd love to obviously start off by everyone getting to know us. And I don't know the full story either. So.
Oh, okay, great. I actually, believe it or not, knew that I wanted to go into ophthalmology when I was 19. And the reason that I knew I wanted to do ophthalmology was I learned about the Himalayan Cataract Project and the work that they were doing and the value of cataract surgery in the developing world when I was 19 years old. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to work with Jeff Tabin. I want to work with the Himalayan Cataract Project. And everyone I met, you know, in college and med school and everything, they're like, yeah, you're going to change your mind a million times. And I was like, no, this is my life purpose. This is what I know I want to do. And this is something that's really important to me. And I knew I wanted to do something in medicine and something volunteer related. I had read Mountains Beyond Mountains, and so I knew I wanted to do something global, and that then kind of indirectly led me to learning about Jeff Tabin and HCP. That it's always been important to me to give back to the community and to make a difference. And I think that really stems from even as early as my childhood, my grandfather had a really big influence on my life path. He has kind of an incredible story that I would love to share. So my grandfather started from a very young age. He moved from Yazd to Tehran, and he had very little money in his pocket, and he completely built himself up from working in the bazaar in like a tiny little fabric shop. He was the guy who was like cutting and selling the fabric, and then he bought the fabric store, and then he built a chicken hatchery, and then he got into real estate, and he made all this money. And he has still lived his life in such a simple way, and he really believes in giving back to the community that he came from. So he actually built a school in Yazd. Oh, wow. And he donates, you know, books and supplies and like backpacks and shoes and all these things to the kids in Iran at the school in the town that he's from. And I remember just all these conversations with my grandfather, because he used to come to the U.S. to visit, and I would go to Iran every summer and spend, you know, 3 months in Iran every summer. And I really learned from him that it's so much more about what you do for the world. And so
the giving back.
Yeah. So it's, you know, in ophthalmology, we're so blessed to be able to really touch people's lives. And the surgeries that we do have such a low risk of complication and such outcome, like such amazing outcomes and impact on people's quality of life, that to me, the most meaningful way that I can spend my life is actually going and doing cataract surgery for people who are blind, who have no resources, no ability to get access to care. And in the U.S., that looks different, but it's, we're really lucky.
And it's true. Ophthalmology, I think, lends itself really well to that kind of global medicine and giving back to community, not just local community, but international community.
Yeah.
Now, how did you end up in Hawaii? Your practice is in Hawaii. I'd love to hear that path, because I know that when I first met you, you were actually in California, in my neck of the woods.
I was. Yeah. Funny story. So, gosh, we've talked about how, like, you know, life just sort of meanders through these different opportunities, and you kind of go one direction, go another direction. So it's not always been so planned, but I actually first ended up deciding to take the job that I took in California, because I literally, I interviewed at two different places in California in like 3 days that I was in the country. And then I left the country for 6 months and I was like, well, I need a job. I need to sign my contract. Let me pick between these two. And I was trying to decide whether to do academics and hardcore cornea, because that's what I thought I was going to do, or take this refractive job. And when I really thought about it, I realized that, you know, I was at the time I was in India when I was trying to decide what to do, and I was doing my global fellowship, and I had this amazing mentor who is an ocular surface surgeon. So Sion Basu was my mentor while I was there, and he taught me a lot about eyes, but we also had these like chats in his office where we would just drink coffee and or drink chai, and he would talk about, you know, life, and he ended up becoming this like kind of life mentor for me. And I realized through talking to him how important it was to have, you know, balance in your life and to do something that you can become an expert in. And so to me, I was like, I'm not going to become an expert in ocular surface where we have, you know, a handful of patients, even at the best academic institutions. What do we have a lot of in the US? We have normal, healthy eyes. And if I want to be an expert at something and really be able to like provide the best level of care, I should go into something like refractive surgery and become a really great cataract surgeon, really great refractive surgeon. So I ended up taking a job in California, but it wasn't the best kind of like personality fit for my husband and I. We're a little more laid back and we're from Oklahoma and we're used to people being like really nice and really chill. Yeah,
that's definitely not Southern California.
And one of my co-residents is from Hawaii. And so he moved back home to Hawaii, and he and his wife were really good friends of ours. And then they convinced two other co-residents of ours who were our really close friends that were my co-residents to move to Hawaii. So when we were trying to decide where to live, we had this like huge community of people, them and a bunch of their friends who we'd been skiing with a bunch of times. And we're like, wow, we have all these really good friends in Hawaii. Could we actually make it work? And so long story short, my husband found an amazing job. I found a great job. We moved to Hawaii and we have never looked back. We like,
it's amazing.
We surf, we sail, we love doing everything, you know, in and on and under the ocean.
I can't imagine you anywhere else but Hawaii.
Yeah.
Although I would love to have you come to LA. Yeah, and join us,
maybe in another life.
Maybe. That would be fun. Well, this is our way of partnering with this podcast.
Wow, Netta, it's been really amazing listening to your incredible life path that I know has had some twists and turns that have led you to where you are now. Do you think you could tell us a little bit about how you ended up in ophthalmology and how you ended up here where you are now?
You and I talked about this yesterday and how there's different approaches to reaching, I guess, your goal, your, you know, we'll do a podcast on finding your dream job.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I shared with you how looking back on my life, and I've been now in practice for 20 years, I was never like really goal oriented. I went with the flow, and my husband and I are quite a contrast. He was similar to you. Like when he was very young, he knew medicine was his path, and he was very, very goal oriented, and he kind of set his path towards exactly where he is now. And for better or worse, I was very different. I kind of went with the flow, and I went with the best opportunity available to me at the time. And in a way, it's kind of set me to my dream job and to a place where I'm really, really happy. But when I look back, I, and then, you know, having kids now who are teens and, you know, one who just turned 20, I can't believe it, guiding them, it's, you have to go with what sits right for you. For me, my path in medicine, I try to resist medicine because my entire network, my family, they're all doctors. And I was very artistic growing up, and I thought I want to go down the path of kind of the art world, and I wanted to be an artist or a photographer, or at one point I wanted to be a dancer. And so I thought, you know, architecture was something I landed on. And then I met my husband when I was 19. So wow. Around the time, I think 19 must be that age.
Yeah.
You know, 19 must be the age where you start kind of deciding what your path is. I met my husband at 19, and he kind of talked some sense in me because he saw my strengths were in interacting with patients, you know, with people.
Yeah.
And I loved that kind of helping people. I was volunteering in the hospital. I was doing everything that someone who's a, you know, pre-medical path was doing, and yet I was focused on architecture. And he's like, come on, like, be real.
We know what you're really destined to be.
And he kind of convinced me to really rethink my path. And I realized that that architecture path was in a way for me to try to kind of make it my path my own. And because my family and everyone in my family was in medicine. And so, you know, I guess I have to admit that I rerouted to medicine, and I haven't looked back. I mean, I loved it. But even in medicine, I was not destined to be an ophthalmologist. I was so set on wanting to be a cardiologist. I wanted to be an interventional cardiologist. I loved how the heart, you know, is such a center of the body, and I wanted to be a holistic doctor who took care of the whole of the body. And I thought cardiology and interventional cardiology, you know, you need either cardiologist or a neurosurgeon, the brain and the heart, right? And so anyhow, I was on that path, and then I chose ophthalmology on a total whim. It was one night, my second year of residency in internal medicine, and I was in the ER admitting my 20th patient and feeling like, my God, is this the life that I want for myself? And right at that moment, I overheard the ophthalmology resident at UCLA talking to her mom on the phone saying, I'm going to quit. I'm feeling really horrible. Like, I don't want to do this, but I feel horrible because who's going to replace me I leave this spot empty? And I have to admit that I had not thought about ophthalmology until that moment. Whereas many people had said, you should think about ophthalmology, it's such a great field, but I hadn't even done a rotation in ophthalmology in medical school. And so I hear this, and you know, when you're young, you're a little stupid, you're a little, you see signs and everything.
Oh yeah.
So I thought, that's a sign, because right at the moment that I was really doubting my path, someone landed this opportunity in my lap, and I said, maybe that's a sign that I need to pursue this.
Sounds like a sign to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so serendipitous that she was sitting right there.
It was really interesting. Now, having said that, she ended up not quitting, but it got me on the path. And, you know, I then sought other opportunities, and UC Irvine had a resident who dropped out that year. Must have not been a good year for ophthalmology. And I called UC Irvine. Peter McDonald was the chair at the time, and they said, sorry, we've had enough applicants for this one spot. We're closing the application process. I got in my car, had my CV, my everything, and I drove to UC Irvine. I drove an hour and a half there, and I got there right after Peter McDonald had left, but the cleaning crew was still cleaning his office. And so I slipped my CV under the door. This is 20-some, you know, years ago, more than that. And he called me the next day. He called me the next day, and he says, I want to meet this woman who had the gall to come all the way here, you know, put her CV under the door. And, it, you know, it was one of those things where I've told the story to my kids a lot. Like, you just, sometimes if you really want something, you can't take no for an answer.
Absolutely.
And you got to go after it. And I haven't looked back.
I love that story.
And, you know, my path, and we'll talk about how I've ended up where I am. As you know, I've done academics, I've done private, and I definitely think we should do a podcast on, you know, private versus academic, hard cornea, or, you know, real intense type of practices versus doing refractive, all those things you and I can really dive deep into.
I have so many questions for you, so many things that I want to know about your path. That's such a great story. I love the image of you going and knowing exactly what you want and fighting for it, even after the applications, you know, were closed. That it's lucky for ophthalmology that he decided to take a look and take you.
Well, thank you. And you know, there is a quote, a Rumi quote that I love, and you and I have shared Rumi quotes together. Rumi is a Persian, for those of you who don't know, he's an ancient Persian poet. And my favorite quote of his is, live life as though it's rigged in your favor. And I think, you know, challenges, we all face challenges in our lives, but if you see opportunity in those challenges, then you can grow from them. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for us, for you and I, to talk about values that have come out of challenges we faced and lessons we've learned through our lives.
So Netta, I know you said 19-year-old you thought about being an architect, and you're an amazing ophthalmologist. But what if you had decided not to be an ophthalmologist? If today you could decide to be something else and you couldn't choose ophthalmologist, what would you be?
You know, that's a great question. I think today I would choose to be a photographer and, you know, removing all the other obligations I have in my life, but a photographer and travel the world and do photojournalism. I would love to do that.
Oh, that sounds
Architecture
fun.
Is still on my mind, and design and such. But I do love what I do now. And I think I can turn my other, you know, alternative desires into hobbies later
Definitely.
On.
Definitely. Yes.
How about you? What would you be if you weren't an ophthalmologist?
Yeah. So like you, I'm like, gosh, I almost can't imagine being anything else because I love it so much. But I would love to be a yoga teacher because I feel like yoga has brought me so much peace and joy in life. And to be able to share that with other people would be really, really special. I think it would be a lot of fun. But yeah, like you,
that.
I'm like, you know, I've done
that
a little.
With us. Share yeah, that. Be a yoga teacher to your ophthalmology
meetings. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. We were in camping in the Haleakala crater in October for a meteor shower. And we were this group of like 10 people and we spent 2 nights in the crater and everybody was kind of like creaky and achy. And I was just stretching all the time. And so somebody asked me to lead a yoga class. And so I would in the mornings, on all the mornings we were there, I like led all these people in yoga and it was like, yeah, it was really fun. It was very unprofessional.
Well, but it was great. We should have a Netta Squared sponsored yoga session. Ooh, at every
fun.
Meeting.
That would be really fun.
I won't be teaching. I'll be creaking in the back when you're teaching. But yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. I could totally see you do that.
Oh, thanks.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'll be the first one in the first row.
Oh, that sounds great. I would love that. You're so encouraging. Anything that we do with you smiling back at me will be even better.
Oh, love you so much.
Love you too. Let's ask this question of all of our guests that we have. I think it'd be really fun to get to know
I
them.
I love that. Ophthalmologists are multidimensional, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of varied answers. So I'm excited to get to know everyone's, all you know, other hobbies and interests.
Definitely.
That's a great question. This is the start of a little teaser on who we are and what we can talk about. I think there's so much you and I can talk about and so much that hopefully we can explore with guests who are going to join us. And I'm just really so excited about all that we're going to learn about each other and about what we do and about ophthalmology. So with that, shall we end this first episode?
That
Any other thoughts?
Great. No, I love it. That's great. I feel like I know you a little better. Hopefully our listeners know both of us a little bit better now. Yeah, I'm really excited to be doing this with you, Netta.
Me too. Thank you for listening to our first episode of
Netta Squared.